asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances.
So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we are answering your listener questions.
Listener questions, Joel. Man, we've got five great ones like we do every week. We have a listener asking if he can save for vacation while he still has student loans. We have another listener asking if she should drain her emergency fund in order to add on to her house. And we have a question, too, regarding the insurance that your credit card provides and how that works when it comes to renting a car.
Oh, man, that's hard to understand for lots of folks. I feel like that's a big pain. Like, can they use their credit card to get insurance coverage for a rental car? Because it's so expensive and so pesky to get it at the counter. You're always being upsold and you're always worried about it.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things that you always know about, but you don't really get far enough down that path to have actually made maybe an informed decision. So we're hoping by the end of this episode, we can allow you to make some informed decisions when you have some of these questions in your life.
All right, Matt, before we get into the listener questions, I wanted to tell you, I saw one of my buddies recently told me that he was listening to Spotify and he heard an ad for vinyl, for people to buy vinyl. And I just thought that was so odd and such an interesting sign of the times that you're listening to streaming music and you're hearing an ad for the most old school analog potential way to listen to music, which is vinyl. And I like vinyl. I mean, I feel like it actually next year, I think vinyl is going to surpass CDs in overall sales. Like CDs are going completely away.
That kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
I kind of get that, right? Like, 'cause there's something different about vinyl than discs.
Yeah, the actual way the vinyl looks and the packaging and everything, it's beautiful. It's
like
big.
The whole experience of it.
Yeah, and then also the sound. It's completely different. It's a much richer, fuller kind of sound that you get listening to vinyl than you do just popping a CD in. But I just thought that was really interesting. And then when you think, too, about these companies that are starting digital and they're going back into the old mediums.
Like Amazon?
Like Amazon. Amazon opening
Amazon
up
bookstores.
Opening up stores around the country. And then Netflix, right? They're the streaming service. And now they're making great movies and they're putting them in the movie theater and they're winning like best pictures. It's just super interesting that these companies are starting in the digital space and then they're actually transitioning kind of back into the physical space.
Yeah, dude, there's a lot of crossover, right? That's happening with these different companies. And, you know, what I think a lot of companies like Spotify and Amazon, what they've realized is that there are people who value something physical, something tangible that you can either experience or something that you can touch and hold. There's a lot of value there and people are willing to pay for that because in the end, these are businesses, right? And what they're after is making a profit. So they're going to put something out there that they think is going to be successful. And there are a lot of digital aspects of our lives. I personally love lots of digital things. It adds a lot of convenience. It's really efficient, right? And it's easy. But I think I would be like fooling myself if I said that I wouldn't be affected by actually being able to hold something or the way that I can interact with something physically, right? And I think what's interesting too is to think how that affects how we view our money. So for instance, with photography, I often get paid digitally, either with Venmo or Cash App. I love those two apps because the money just shows up and I transfer it over. It's like I just swipe it over to my bank account basically.
That's the best.
I love it. It's so great. It's so easy, so convenient. However, that being said, occasionally I'll receive a cash tip and I'll get a little envelope with some 20s in it, maybe even like a $100 bill, something like that. And it is so weird how that has such a big impact on me and how I view the work that I'm doing.
Mm.
Like it's a very, very small amount, right? Of like the total amount that I've been paid for that job, but it has this inordinate impact on how I view like the work that I've just done. And it's not because I'm not claiming that as wages, right? Like I'm paying taxes on that. Something about that actual cash dollar amount there, like that you get to hold, it just feels more real and it has this different impact than digital dollars just kind of transferring and showing up in your account.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, and I think there are all these ways that, something analog, something tangible can make a big difference in our lives. And when we're talking about money, spending in cash, like that's something we're going to talk about coming up, I don't know, maybe the next month or two, but actually spending in cash can make a big difference in how you spend and your ability to curb your impulses. And you know what? We just have received like a bunch of awesome stuff from people being super generous, giving us stuff for the birth of our new son. And so we're writing a bunch of thank you notes out by hand, basically thanking them for their generosity and for thinking about us in that time. And there's something, I know when I get an actual thank you note, not just an email, but an actual handwritten thank you note, there's something just so meaningful about that, that someone took the time, they wrote down how they felt, and they were moved enough to spend that time and then probably to put a stamp on it and mail it my way too. That's just such a big deal. It means so much. And I do think that these analog things, like we want to keep them around. We talked too about online buying versus shopping in your local store and how there are such great benefits, even if it costs you more sometimes, right, to shop locally, not just supporting your community, but that visceral experience of shopping, touching, looking,
smelling.
And, yeah, smelling, just being all immersed
into
that.
That's my favorite part of the shopping experience, sniffing everything.
It gets weird sometimes.
It's like, there's How to Money Matt again. He's just walking through the store, sniffing everything. Yeah, no, I think that's awesome, man. And I think that's awesome you guys are doing some thank you notes. Is it you or Emily writing things out?
It's mostly Emily.
Yeah, because I've seen your chicken scratch. And I'm sure folks are like, I can't even tell what this guy's writing here. Yeah. Like, do you want to try to read it? I don't know.
Yeah, they're like, I think he liked the gift, but I have no idea because I can't read what he writes.
There's a lot of exclamation points, so I'm going to give it a thumbs up.
That's why I'm thankful for Emily's penmanship, that's for sure. All right, Matt, let's get on to the beer that we're having on the show today. Today, we're drinking Liquid Stardust by Surly Brewing. Tiffany over at Surly was super kind enough to send us this beer. It's actually funny, when we were emailing, she said she just had a conversation with one of her friends about 401ks over beers. So Tiffany's our kind of person. Tiffany, thanks for sending this beer our way. We really appreciate it. And we'll give our thoughts on this beer at the end of the show.
Yeah. Thanks, Tiffany.
All right, Matt, on to the subject at hand. Today, we're answering listener questions. And by the way, if anybody out there listening has a question that they want us to tackle on the show, well, there's a really easy way to submit your question. Just go to howtomoney.com/ask and you can see the simple directions there. But let's get on to the first question for the show.
Hey guys, my name is Jeremy, calling in from Dallas, Texas. Thank you guys so much for everything you do on the podcast. It's really helpful for someone like me who does not really enjoy budgeting and looking at spreadsheets and looking at the bank account, but you guys make it fun and easily accessible. So thanks for everything you do. My question today is related to saving for vacation. So really what I want to ask is, how do you give yourself the grace or freedom to save for vacation while you still have student loans to pay off? I have a lot of student debt, but also want to be able to travel with my wife. So I was wondering if you have any suggestions on how to find the balance between aggressively paying off loans and still taking vacations. I know you guys talk a lot about spending money on the things you care about, so I would love to hear you address this topic specifically. Thanks.
Jeremy, thanks so much for your question. First thing I got to say is I hate spreadsheets too, man. Matt's the weirdo in this duo. He loves spreadsheets.
You guys are just haters.
I hate spreadsheets, dude. I really do. I don't know if it's a personality type, Enneagram number. I don't know what it is, but man, like me and spreadsheets, we don't mix very well.
Well, just be true to yourself, man. I like the cold, hard facts. So Jeremy, what we would recommend, obviously, is, you know, is for you to be able to prioritize your current lifestyle goals, even while you're getting your debt and your savings in order. Taking, you know, more of that balanced approach to our money, like that's a huge part of the show. And that's what makes personal finance so personal.
And right? I think, like, I don't know, at least for us, when we set out to make the show, Matt, that was like the biggest reason behind creating
this.
Well, first off, it was just enjoying the conversation and having a beer. But so much of the goal of what we wanted to communicate is achieving balance in life and in personal finance. And I feel like in personal finance, that part of the discussion is missing so often, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we try to make personal finance fun because it really can be. It can be about the goals and focusing on the things that you're striving after. It doesn't have to be about the budgets and the spreadsheets, unless that's your thing and that makes you happy like it does me. But those different goals, right? Like that is what's at the core of the question here. Your goals and the different priorities that you have, like your goals are going to be different than mine. Although, I'll say that a vacation with my wife, like that sounds pretty great. I could get on board with that for sure. So because we do take a more balanced approach to our finances, we think it's okay to spend money on some of the things that are important. I think it might be hard to do if you see things like really black and white. You know, Jeremy, you talked about really paying down your debt aggressively. And so in your mind, if you're thinking, man, I can't really have any fun, I can't enjoy life until I completely knock out that debt. Man, I also oftentimes struggle with actually loosening the purse strings and spending money on the things that I say that I value. But I think that's important to actually give ourselves that permission to spend that money.
Yeah, and I think it's important to have it in black and white, right? To actually make your budget accordingly and have the numbers reflect your priorities. And we talked about this some back in episode 12, the why behind money. But I know for me that even when it's in black and white and I say, you know what, I've got this beer budget every month, that's really important to me. Even still, I can have a hard time actually pulling the credit card out or the dollar, usually credit cards, pulling it out of my wallet to actually buy the beer because I want to make sure I go under in my budget for certain things. And I've had to fight that urge in myself because I realize that I'm actually happier when I do spend my money in the way that I have called out as being important in my life. And so I think it's really important if you have decided that vacations with your wife are one of those few things that you want to prioritize. And we talked about that in episode 12, like finding those few things that really are meaningful. If this is one of those most meaningful things for you, well, you're probably going to have to make other choices and cut back in other areas in order to make taking a nice vacation with your wife every year a reality. But I think doing a little bit of that soul searching as to what is truly important to you on the front end is so helpful. And it actually makes it so much easier to then cut back in other areas that aren't very important to you. It makes it easier to drive that car a little bit longer or live in a smaller house or in a less cool part of town. Because you know what? You've got this anticipation of this awesome European vacation that you're going to take with your wife because that is something that you prioritized more.
Well, Joel, you're talking about things being black and white. You know what that sounds like you're talking about?
A Michael Jackson song?
No, a spreadsheet. Like you're talking about how much you hate spreadsheets and budgets and whatnot. But like,
well,
honestly,
that's why I'm glad I married Emily because she helps me out with that part. I'm really helpful with like the big picture stuff and thinking through and then talking through, you know, what it's going to look like spending in our lives.
Right.
But then the actual like putting pen to paper or keyboard to Excel spreadsheet, like she does that part really well for
us. Well, I mean, I think that's why that might be part of the answer here is that, you know, actually putting the numbers down on paper, like that's a budget when you've identified what you want to spend your money on and then you stick to it. Like that is intentionally spending your money and that's what a budget is all about. And Jeremy, we would also maybe challenge you to lower the cost of the actual vacations that you're taking while you're still in debt, while you still have those student loans. You know, for now, I would pick lower cost trips. If you're still mired in a bunch of school debt, this way you're able to still travel and still spend some awesome time together with your wife, but you're both still dedicated to getting after those student loans, right? Like this is a way to sort of like have your cake and eat it too. You know, really this is all about the time because isn't that kind of like what's most important here? It's not that you necessarily want to take some amazing trip, although that's really nice, but I got to think at least half the equation here is the quality time that you're going to be able to spend together. And especially these earlier years, it's almost kind of fun to see kind of how cheap of a vacation we can take together and make the most fun of it, you know?
Oh yeah, completely. The great thing is there are so many resources to help you take a cheap vacation. It doesn't have to be some all-inclusive resort or a fancy trip to Europe, although you can do Europe pretty cheap these days. But there are all these ways to lessen the cost of your vacation. And I nerd out on that stuff. And I agree, Matt. I think for most people, it doesn't have to be one or the other. And if you're intentional and thoughtful, you can take a vacation for a super reasonable amount and still get those student loans paid down at the same time. And then I think, too, that planning a reward trip as you're kicking butt at getting rid of your student loans and reaching debt pay down goals, well, that's a great way to kind of accelerate the process too. If you know that after paying down $10,000 in student loan debt, that you're going to be able to buy $400 round trip plane tickets to Paris, well, then I think that's going to be helpful in motivating you to reach that goal more quickly. So while you're traveling on a shoestring budget now, during these early years, while you have a lot of student loans, well, go big and reward yourself as a final reward for completing the debt payoff and dangle that carrot in front of you so that you can take like a fancy trip to New Zealand when you're done. I feel like that actually can be this really helpful way of compelling you to do the smart thing with your money right now if you know that there's this bigger reward looming if you are able to do that.
Yeah, and another consideration too is the fact that we're talking about student loans here, which traditionally have fairly low interest rates, right? I think this would be a different conversation if we were talking about high interest credit card debt, right? If we're talking about an interest rate on a bunch of loans that was over 20%, that's more of the kind of all hands on deck, right? Like your hair's on fire. This is something that we need to address now.
That's like, don't take vacations for the next 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. But with
until you get rid of that.
Yeah. But with student loans being traditionally like a lower APR, I mean, a lot of student loans are 2%, 3%, 4%, 5%. That's not a super high percentage rate. And not to say that you don't need to get after that and pay that down, but an interest rate in that range can afford you to live life a little bit now, kind of finding that balance. If it's truly a priority for you, that's something that you need to be living out now while you are still being smart with your money, saving and investing your money.
Man, I feel like I've heard so many people over the years say, I love travel. I prioritize travel. But you know what? I never have enough money to do it. I just never actually get around to traveling, even though it's something I care about a lot. You know what? I see those people driving pretty nice cars or prioritizing fancy meals out. And the thing is, you can't do it all. You can't afford it all. But when you say you prioritize something, when it is one of those highly valued things in your life, one of those very few things that you set apart and you set savings goals for, well, I think it's important to put your money where your mouth is and actually make it happen, even while you are saving for the future and paying down that student loan debt. All right, Matt, speaking of travel, we are going to take a question about getting rental car insurance with a credit card, and we're going to get to that after the break.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer. We've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry. Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Spring cleaning is kind of an annual rite of passage. We've all got to do it, minimize the junk that we have in our house. Emily and I, we just cleaned our closets out. It took hours, but it was so worth it. Now we've only got stuff in there that we love, and it's easier to find everything too. And so, you know, while cleaning your closets is helpful, well, there's something else you can do for your family this spring. Shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius, for example, is a really important part of your financial planning for the year.
That's right. Yeah. And here is the thing that's important to remember, because you might be thinking you don't need to check out Policy Genius because you've got a policy through work. But even if you have a life insurance policy through your job, it may not offer you enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies, and that means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
Save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to PolicyGenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com.
All right, Joel, we are back from the break taking listener questions. And before we get to that credit card, car rental insurance question, we've got one about adding on to your house.
Hi, this is Amy from San Mateo. My husband and I are interested in doing an addition. We would like to get your opinion about how to pay for it. Should we A, take out a home equity loan, or B, use up all of our emergency money to pay for it in cash? So you can understand the drawbacks. Either we lose some money towards interest, or if something happens, we won't have money to pay for it. Let me know what you think is the best way to go. Thank you.
Amy, this is a great question. All right, let's dig into it. Paying for an addition with a home equity loan or draining that emergency fund? Which is the best way to go? And I think this depends on a bunch of different factors. One of the biggest questions is how quickly could you replenish that emergency savings fund if you were to spend that to fund the addition? I think if you can save a good chunk of money every month, let's say like $1,500 a month, well, then paying for it in cash isn't that bad of an idea because it won't take you that long to replenish that emergency fund. But if it's going to take you 10 years to bounce back and to amass the amount of money that you currently have, well, then you probably don't want to sit that long with a bare bones emergency fund. And ultimately, if you do decide that it's best to tap that emergency fund, well, you're going to want to make sure that you have at least a couple thousand dollars sitting there in your bank account just in case of an emergency. If you're literally draining it all the way down to zero, a zero balance, that's when things get really scary. And I would definitely be unwilling to go that far.
Yeah. And Amy, we're talking about getting your emergency fund down pretty low. But another consideration is insurance policies. You know, while a couple thousand and even $1,000 is often touted as sort of the bare minimum for an emergency fund, check out your deductibles on those different insurance plans. Because in case something, you know, say were to happen to your car or your home, and even your health, right? Like you want to make sure that you won't have a problem paying those deductibles or covering those out-of-pocket maximums. You said yourself that that's sort of the downside, right? You're afraid that, you know, by draining your accounts that you are not going to be able to have enough money to handle those emergencies. Well, a lot of the biggest emergencies that happen in our lives, we have insurance policies set aside for. So at the very least, make sure you have enough money in that emergency fund to cover those deductibles.
Yeah. And one thing you mentioned, Amy, in your question was potentially using a home equity loan. And I would suggest instead of a home equity loan, that you specifically look at a home equity line of credit. Because if you do have the cash on hand to cover the whole renovation, well, a home equity line of credit is almost always better when you're talking about only needing it for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, especially in an environment where interest rates are pretty low and actually looking like they might get lower. So if you have the money, but you don't want to use up all your cash on hand, go for a home equity line. And specifically in your case, you could potentially split it down the middle. Use a good bit of your cash on hand, but still keep plenty around for emergencies to make you feel good. And then pay for the rest of the renovation with your home equity line of credit. Typically, when you open up a HELOC, there is no prepayment penalty if you keep it 3 years or longer. Just shop around in order to find the best rate. I've seen awesome promotional rates like first year of a HELOC for less than 4%, which is pretty sweet. So make sure you shop around. Check local credit unions and local banks. The one downside of a HELOC is that the rate is variable. But in your position where you have such a heavy stash of cash, it's not really that big of a deal because you can always pay it down more quickly with the cash that you do have.
And Amy, a quick little warning to you, right? This is homeowner to homeowner. Renovations are a big undertaking. There's a lot of dust, a lot of decisions, and with those decisions come a lot of stress oftentimes. A lot of times too, they cost more than you think they're going to cost and they take longer to complete. There's just a lot to consider. And so, you know, I would recommend that you listen and check out episodes 57 and 59. That's when we talked about renovating your home or moving. And 59 was renovating on a budget. In both of those episodes, we kind of dove in deep and we covered all the different sort of factors that you want to consider when you're in the kind of position that you are in. And one last thing too, keep in mind that you might have some more money down the road. You're talking about go ahead and setting up the financing, but it might take a little bit of time for you to actually get the ball rolling where you would need that money. There are quotes that you need to get, different plans that you need to have drawn up. Permitting can take forever. And a lot of times after permitting, it has to go back to drawing. I'm just saying that it does take a lot of time. And during that time, you may have been able to add to your emergency fund to where you could pay for that renovation with cash and still have a decent amount set aside to cover any of those emergencies, any of those deductibles in case an emergency were to arise.
Well, and that's actually one more check mark in the box of a HELOC over a home equity loan, because if you get a HELOC, you can have it sitting there
exactly.
And not be paying interest on it and only tap it when you need it.
Yeah, so it's kind of sitting there as a backup in case you don't get that cash together.
Yeah, you get a loan, you're paying interest on the whole lump sum the very day that closes. You get a line of credit. Well, you know what? You're only paying interest on the amount that you draw down on that line of credit. That's why they can be so much better, especially in a scenario like yours, Amy. All right, Matt, let's get to the next question about credit card rental car insurance.
Hey guys, this is Eric calling from Utah. Had a quick question about coverage options that rental cars and airlines offer to you, and wanted to get your thoughts on if those are a cost-effective idea or if those should be avoided. I have an option with my credit card that it will kind of provide coverage for rental vehicles if I use that card, but it made me wonder if that was really the best way to go about it. So would love to hear back from you. Thanks.
Eric, that is a great question. And sort of like we said earlier, this is a great thing to think through before you're standing there at the counter with your pen in hand and they're asking you, would you like the collision damage waiver, right? Like that's what it's called, the CDW.
Or telling you need it.
Exactly. They're like, oh, no, you really should be doing this. And you're like, oh, do I? I don't know. Like, do you have my best interest in mind or are you just trying to upcharge me? That's the real question.
For the low, low price of $52.99 a day.
Yeah,
you too can have this collision damage waiver.
Exactly.
On your Toyota Tercel.
All right, Eric, it might be helpful for you to think about the coverage on a rental car, maybe as three different layers of coverage, right? The first layer that most folks already have in place is their own personal car insurance. You know, and this is for the car that you have at home. Most policies will extend to the rentals were you to be involved in an accident or were that car to get stolen. So the first thing to do is to check the coverage there first. If you don't have your own auto insurance, then the next two layers that we're going to discuss, those are going to be even more important to you.
Yeah, and the credit card is, like you mentioned, an awesome place to go for rental car insurance. Most cards only offer secondary coverage, though, which means you would first need to file a claim with your car insurance provider. Then the credit card will typically pay for additional costs like your deductible. But however, if you don't have personal auto insurance, then the credit card coverage becomes even more important as it becomes the primary coverage for you if you're in some sort of an accident. If you travel a lot, we would recommend actually going with a card like the Chase Sapphire Preferred or the Chase Inc. Business Preferred, because those give you access to primary coverage. You don't even have to reach out to your own individual auto insurance because the coverage you get from that credit card is actually the main coverage and the only coverage that you'll need. We'll put links to those cards in the show notes, by the way. You'll also need to pay in full with that credit card for your rental car, or you don't get the coverage. That's something that some people fail to remember. They think just because they have the card in their wallet that it offers that sort of protection, but you actually need to pay for the reservation and then the full amount of the car rental. You need to pay for that with that credit card in order to be covered by the insurance that that card offers.
Yeah, maybe another way to think about primary versus secondary coverage, like the primary coverage, like they step up the bat for you, right? Like they kind of volunteer as tribute. So whenever you think of like Chase Sapphire, just think of Katniss Everdeen.
Girl on fire.
I volunteer as tribute. And then let's talk about the coverage that you can get that's provided by the rental company. You're sitting there at the counter and they're offering you that CDW. And that's exactly what it is. It's a waiver. It's technically not insurance, but a collision damage waiver, which says that if your car is stolen or damaged, then you're just off the hook. But again, most folks will probably be fine with their own personal auto insurance. And then, you know, the added second layer that your credit card would provide for you. But it might be a good idea to go with rental car insurance, aka that CDW, if you don't have your own car insurance, or maybe if you didn't put that rental car on a credit card, or if the rental is in a country that's excluded from the credit card's coverage. I'm thinking of countries like Italy or Ireland. I think Jamaica's on that list too for a lot of cards. I don't know why, but but it is. So just make sure that you look up those benefits and you can confirm and double check those benefits by calling the credit card company or your insurance company to just make sure that you're completely covered.
Yeah, either way, it's really, really helpful to pay for a rental car with a credit card that has either primary or secondary coverage of a rental car. And in particular, if you travel a fair amount, I think it's more than worth it to get a credit card that has primary coverage so that you know without a doubt every time you book a car, the insurance that you'll have through the credit card company is the only place that you'll have to turn in case of an accident. So it's worth that $95 annual fee that the Chase Sapphire preferred card comes with if you travel two or three times a year and you rent a car when you do travel. That is like some awesome peace of mind to have.
So Eric, in the end, we would recommend for you to just make sure that you've done your research, right? Know what your card offers, know what the insurance that you already have, what they cover, and chances are you have a credit card already in your wallet that offers some type of coverage. Oftentimes, the CDW that's offered there at the counter, it's more of a fear-based sale, and it's sort of like a panic move on most travelers. They think, oh man, this is something I've got to get, and that's why it's something that's still offered. But if you've done your research ahead of time, you can go into those situations with the confidence and the knowledge to know that you're making the right decision for you.
And you'll avoid the crazy expensive coverage that the rental car companies are going to try and offer you. All right, Matt, we got a couple more awesome questions coming up, including leaving a full service investment house. Is that the best course of action to take? And we'll get to those questions right after the break.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach every single summer. We've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host. Or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're a small business owner, listen up. Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're actually choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers. They do everything from hyper-targeting best fit prospects through campaign optimization. Upswell Marketing's unique approach includes direct mail, search engine marketing, and social media ads, and has fueled more than 10,000 small business success stories. Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies. Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Let's say you've been listening to the podcast and now you're finally ready to start implementing some of the financial morsels that we're dishing up. Maybe you are trying to save up some more money for a down payment on a house, or maybe there's a big vacation that you have been dying to take. Well, the money app Monarch. They make it so easy to help you to reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal, they named it the best app for growing your savings.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, collaborate with your partner even. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. And you won't get spammed either. Monarch features ad-free privacy you can trust. They will never sell your data to third parties or show you ads.
That's right, man. And after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. It just makes sense. It works. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. That's monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney for an extended 30-day free trial.
All right, Joel, we are back from the break. And before we get to that question about some expensive mutual funds, we're going to take one on how to get rid of PMI early.
Hi, guys. This is Klaus Larson in Denver, Colorado. I had a quick question about mortgages. You may have talked about this before and I missed it, but if you haven't, are there any ways to get rid of mortgage insurance early, meaning little known methods or ways to negotiate and refinancing or something to get rid of that sooner than later? Because that couple $100 a month adds up real fast. I'll listen in. Thank you.
Oh, man, a couple $100 a month. That totally adds up. That's a huge out of pocket. And I think getting rid of PMI early is the way to go. And there are a few different ways you can go about it. But basically, the reason that PMI exists is that it's insurance for the lender if you're unable to come up with a 20% down payment when you're buying a house. And that's why Matt and I, we try to encourage people to save up a large down payment. 20% is ideal. It's awesome if you can save up that much because it helps you avoid that extra pretty expensive fee every single month when you're paying your note.
All right, Klaus, here's something that's important to know. And that is that you have the right to put in a request to whatever bank services your mortgage to drop private mortgage insurance, right, PMI, once you've reached 80% of your original loan to value. And the thing is, even if you don't request it, they will automatically cancel it once you hit 78%. But the problem is that that could take a while if you stick with the amortization schedule, right? So paying more towards principal is going to be the easiest way to gain more equity. When you pay extra, you'll have the option to designate that money as additional principal. That might be an option that you're not used to seeing because oftentimes our mortgages are just set up on auto draft, right? There's just a certain amount that goes every single month. You feel like you're kind of locked into that you don't have a choice. But if you actually log into your online banking, you'll see that you can pay more than the actual payment amount every month, and you can apply that to the actual principal. That's going to be the cheapest, right? And the easiest way for you to gain more equity quickly.
But if your house has gone up in value considerably, it might be worth it to get an appraisal to get rid of PMI. Even if you've only owned the home for a year or two, depending on local market conditions, well, an appraisal could do the trick to help you ditch PMI. The goal, of course, is that the appraisal would show that there's much more value in your home than when you originally bought it, effectively lowering your loan to value and because you've gained a lot of equity in your home. So keep in mind, though, that an appraisal costs roughly $300 to $500. So they're not cheap. But when you consider the alternative that you're shelling out a couple $100 every month on PMI, it's really just 2 months worth of that pesky fee as you pay for the appraisal, get it done, and hopefully that appraisal shows what you know to be true, that your house is worth enough for PMI to fall away completely. I'd just be confident that that's the case before spending the $400, because what's worse than paying PMI? Paying for an appraisal when your house doesn't appraise out for you to drop that PMI.
That's so true. But you know, the fact is the, you know, this appraisal option, like, I think that's going to be true for most of the country. Like, for the past probably close to 10 years, housing prices for a lot of the country have only climbed. And, you know, unless you maybe drastically overpaid for your house, there's a chance that it has really gone up in value. And so that's really a great option for you. Another third option that could work for you is refinancing. You can refinance and bring cash to the table. If you've got the money saved and set aside, and even if you don't, it might even be worth it for you to tap your emergency fund in order to be done with that PMI, while at the same time scoring a better interest rate. Interest rates are pretty close to being all-time lows these days, and you could totally score a fantastic rate in addition to your PMI completely dropping off. Just make sure that you use that money that you save with that lower monthly payment to build your emergency fund back up really quickly.
Yeah, for anybody out there who has a mortgage and they are paying PMI on it, these are really the options that exist for you to get rid of it. And it's something I would say is a huge priority because it is this major expense every single month. And for most folks, there are ways to get out of it much sooner than you might have thought possible. And the mortgage company, they're not going to notify you of these ways to get rid of PMI early. You've got to take matters in your own hands and go one of these routes. And if you do that, you're going to save a huge amount of money every month. So Klaus, best of luck. Let us know what route you end up choosing. All right, Matt, let's get to our next question about pesky investing fees.
Hi, Matt and Joel. My name is Casey, and I am from Clearwater, Florida. Financial independence is a new concept to me, and your podcast has been super helpful and inspirational as I start this journey. Recently, I've come to the realization that I have sadly spent a lot of years not investing or not investing well, so I'm looking for some advice. In 2015, I changed jobs and I rolled over my retirement account into a Roth IRA with American Funds and haven't really looked at the account too much since then. I recently opened up an investment account with a robo-advisor, and I also started contributing for the past few months to the American Funds account again. I just realized that there is a 5.75% sales charge with that account, and that seems really steep to me. My question is, should I stop contributing to that account and transfer everything into my new account with the robo-advisor, transfer it to somewhere else like Vanguard, or continue to just let it hang out? Thank you.
Casey, thanks for your question. I'm so glad you asked it because, yes, that is a huge fee. And really, you said you're just now getting into financial independence. Well, if you really want to reach the point of financial independence, you definitely need to prioritize avoiding investing fees. They can do major damage to your overall returns over the years, and that's going to drastically affect how quickly you're going to reach financial independence. And we actually discussed that in great detail back in episode 91, so I would definitely suggest you go back and check that episode out. I think it'll be really helpful.
Joel, man, not only are the fees associated with buying and selling those funds really high, but the actual funds themselves have really high expense ratios. The funds themselves are really expensive. So Casey, you're asking if you should let those funds continue to sort of hang out? Well, no, right? You don't want to let those funds hang out because the funds themselves are really expensive in addition to the sales fees. American Funds has mutual funds with expense ratios even over 1%, but most of them are in the sort of 0.6 to 0.7% range, which is still about 20 times more than what you should be paying if that money was invested in Vanguard or Fidelity funds. American Funds have higher expense ratios because their funds are actively managed, and those guys doing, you know, all that unnecessary buying and selling, like, those guys want to get paid. So that's why there are higher expense ratios associated with those funds.
Yeah, and for most investors out there, avoiding actively managed funds is definitely your best bet. Because those fees, they can seem a little insignificant or less than 1%. Well, how big can that actually be? But when you look at the numbers, it has just a massive effect on how much you're able to actually have when you hit retirement age. And Matt, you just mentioned Vanguard. They're one of our favorites. Fidelity is also great. Fidelity actually offers a fund that has a zero expense ratio, and it doesn't really get better than that. If you search FZROX,
FZ Rocks.
FZ Rocks.
I love saying that.
I know you do. I know you do. That's their total stock market fund, and that's the one with the zero expense ratio. That's what you should look out for if you do decide to go with a company like Fidelity. But regardless of which of these low-cost companies you go with, there are a lot of good ones out there to choose from. With companies like Fidelity and Vanguard, there are no sales charges. So that 5.75% front load is going to be a thing of the past. And honestly, it's just really nice to get rid of that. It's nice to know that your money is being invested incredibly efficiently with these companies. Almost all the money that you're investing is actually working for you.
Yeah, I just want to point out how much 5.75% is, man. Like, that's a lot of money, right? Like, everyone can do math, but that means over $50 evaporates, basically, every time you invest $1,000. Casey, I'm bummed that you already lost that money, but hopefully that's going to be a thing of the past. And then you mentioned robo-advisors as well. That could be a great option. We like Betterment. We like Wealthfront. M1 is also really good. Really, it depends on how much handholding you like, but Betterment and Wealthfront, they both offer digital portfolio management for a fee of 0.25%. And M1, they offer their services completely free of charge, which we really love. We'll put a link to an article about M1 in our show notes. So assuming you're with one of those robo-advisors, transferring your Roth IRA from American Funds to the robo should be pretty easy without any tax consequences if you do a direct transfer where it's trustee to trustee. And that's basically where you never receive a check from American Funds. They transfer that money directly to the new trustee, whether that be Betterment, Wealthfront, or M1.
Yeah, because there's a ticking time bomb if you get a check in your hand and don't have it to the new investment company within...
It's like 60 days, right?
Yeah, yeah. You're going to be in big trouble and you're going to be paying taxes and penalties on that money. You don't want to do that. So definitely make sure to do that trustee to trustee transfer. It's crucial.
Yeah, man. 100%. Let's take it now back to our beer, which is Liquid Stardust. And this is a sparkling IPA by Surly Brewing Company. This is out of the good state of Minnesota. I think Surly is like, it's got to be their biggest well-known brewery there, right?
Yeah, Surly's been around a long time at this point. Like one of the OGs in craft beer, sure.
Yeah, they're like one of the godfathers of the craft beer movement. They've been around for a long time. Joel, this was an IPA. What did you think about it? Was this like any other IPA you've had before?
It honestly wasn't, man. It was really, really interesting.
Just setting you up.
Yeah, this beer is kind of like a Brut IPA, which is in that kind of champagne beer hybrid concept that's kind of becoming really popular right now. And I got to be honest, I haven't really taken to it very much. It's not a style I would normally gravitate towards. I really enjoy this one, though. This one was just a better representation than the other ones I've had. It was a bit bubbly. It finished nice and clean. It really was just an interesting beer. I love the idea of a beer-wine hybrid. I'm definitely more of a beer guy than a wine guy, but some of those sours kind of already gravitate towards that, right? You can get like some red wine vibes or some white wine vibes when you're drinking a sour. But a beer with champagne influences, I can dig it, and I definitely dug this one.
Yeah, well, it's got that dryness going on, right? Like I feel like to me, that's what really characterizes these Brut IPAs. It's less of the juicy aspect of it, which is one of the things we love about the kind of New England style. And really, a lot of types of the different IPAs is the juiciness. Brut IPAs, super dry. And this one specifically, man. So, you know, when you've got like a piece of paper and you've got your ballpoint pen and you doodle a bunch on it, there's like a lot of ink on the paper. You know that smell that you get when you smell that ink? That's what this kind of tastes like to me. Like it kind of smells like ballpoint pen ink. And I mean that in the best way. Like
your tasting notes are always all over the place.
I'm just telling you, that's what I tasted. It tasted like the way that ink smells on paper, which I know is kind of weird, but it's kind of got like this hoppy Pilsner sort of flavor going on with it. To me, it smelled more like hops than it actually tasted. You know, you said clean. Like that's, I feel like, the best way to describe it. It's just real clean, real sparkly, real refreshing. It's got like these kind of old school like sparkles all over the can. We'll put the can art up on our show notes like we always do as well. But I really enjoyed this beer. This was a nice change of pace compared to a lot of the styles of IPAs that we typically have. And I'm really thankful for our friends over at Surly for sending this one our way.
Yeah, I agree. This one was a fun one. And the folks at Surly are awesome people. All right, Matt, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll have links to the show notes along with other articles that we've written up on our website, howtomoney.com.
Also up on our website is a way to let us know if you feel that we could do a better job. Just go to howtomoney.com/dobetter And you can leave us some feedback there. We're always looking for ways to improve. However, if you think this show totally rocks and you haven't left us a review, we would love for you to do that. Head over to Apple Podcasts and you can rate and review us over there and subscribe wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts. Joel, that's going to be it for this episode, man. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.